The mic's hot.
The mics are always hot. Yeah, we've talked about hottest Disney princess ad nauseum.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Who's your favorite? I'm 100%.
Is it just the case
Matt,
of...
Matt, you're not going to do this. Who's your favorite?
Is it just the case of I don't get tired of this conversation? So I
possibly, but we've definitely done this. All this.
I don't...
Absolutely. We've done... 100%. And we did a cold open because we were like, I like her hair.
We've almost done 303 full episodes, and I don't remember talking about this.
I want to say... The Little Mermaid, but then I think about the logistics, and I bet she smells real fishy down there.
Yeah, because she has a fucking fish body. Like, at what point does it turn from fish guts to human guts?
She gets legs, man.
Eventually, but legs. We're talking...
But like, even before that, don't way, you think she's like, got some residual fish qualities?
I would like to think the magic of the universe makes it just a full woman with a full womanly bush.
That's what Walt Disney was like. Hey, let's animate. Let's animate that bush.
You just want to see it flowing back and forth like kelp in the ocean.
Yeah, doesn't she? She's like ah,
bush.
Some red kelp.
Dive right in.
Is that the consensus then? It's the Little Mermaid, which is fish fucking. That's what we're all admitting to.
Bestiality.
Well, it's interspecies. Let's not be so crass.
Oh, jeez. I'm so sorry to not be so sensitive.
They are fully sentient. It's not like you're just fucking an animal. They are just, they're mer people.
What's sentient?
Aware of what is going on, but
so is a dog.
Yeah, a dog is sentient. It's a sentient being. We're not fucking MacBooks. I mean, I absolutely am not fucking a MacBook.
Not with those
timestamp.
Those
right
rigid
now.
Aesthetic lines.
But you both understand the difference between a dog and someone that can think like a mer person, or a
centaur. Right. Are there scent
There's
ladies?
A fucking dog in The Little Mermaid, and it acts totally different
in the water?
Than the mer people.
Did somebody
no, it's
fuck
like
that dog?
Prince Eric's dog or some shit.
Who fucked it?
No one has sex with a dog. What's wrong with you people?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Are centaurs? Are centaur ladies? Does that exist? Is that a thing? Scent ladies? They have like horse.
I don't think legs? I've ever seen a scent lady.
Yeah,
a scent
gal,
a woman tar.
I like
centaurette.
I hate a centaurette, but I love them to imagine them standing in a kick line with all those legs.
You're still fucking a horse at that point.
You're still fucking a fish?
What if
you're fucking Ariel?
You're not because she's a full human.
Doesn't she go back to...
Doesn't
she go back to being a fish?
I don't know, but I want to talk about centauresses for a minute.
Centaurette? I love a centaurette.
Paul, what if a centauress gives you a blowjob? Is that okay? Because it's performing the act with its human...
Parts.
Body parts instead of fucking a horse.
Well, I think any sex with a centress is fine because they are like equally sentient like people. It's not like you're fucking a dog that doesn't really know what's happening.
But here's the thing:
is that what it's like when you're
fucking a person?
A dog
that just
is
happens
sentient.
To have a horse body.
You're mistaking the term sentient. Sentient is something that understands and knows what's happening. And dogs absolutely fucking do.
Right.
Computers do not. Comic book boxes do not.
For
like
the
a
argument,
grasshopper
though,
doesn't
if,
know.
If you have a better,
it might.
If you have a better word. If you have a better word that better describes like how people think compared to a dog, then absolutely give it to me and we'll start
human?
Using that. But for the sake of you
this
just
dog
use human
fucking
thought,
conversation
right.
that you started.
Yeah. So centaurs, mer people, like they're
what
human.
Are some
they're
other,
human. They've got
what
human
are some
brains.
Other half humanoid, half
Keep it organic. We're not dipping into. We're not dipping.
Yeah, I'm
into,
not talking cyborg. Cyborg sex is all. I mean, we're all go on cyborg sex, right? Like we're having sex with cyborgs all the time, right? No.
So long as it's like soft and fuckable, like we said, none of us want to fuck our MacBook.
Maybe somebody
if it's hard lines, we don't want.
Maybe
it.
Which is so funny because every time your MacBook is out, you're always
fucking it,
beating my dick,
beating your dick.
I know, but I'm not beating.
You can't even look at it.
My dick.
You can't even look at your computer anymore without getting turned on. It's like Pavlov's dog.
Which we're not having sex with, for the record.
Not that dog, no.
Because it's not sentient. Not, right. It's not a sentient being.
Because it's not part human. Not as sentient as it should be.
So the Terminator body, I'd imagine that there's some slash fiction out there. Girls loving the Terminator skeleton. It's hard, gravelly, musk. I don't know.
Does it... Are they that advanced that they would have sweat glands to smell musky? To smell like a fucking man.
I would say so. Do you think that in that original Terminator that Arnold didn't smell like 1980s pumping?
I don't know. He probably just smells like that leather jacket. Like, I don't know if they... I feel like that would be like an interesting twist that you could write into the novelization, that there's just something odd about the way... He smells like he's so realistic as a human, but there's something odd that tips you off. Like there's something fucked up about this person.
Well, that's in the new Terminator. He lives with a woman for like 4 decades or whatever. I guess. No, he comes back in the 90s. So.
And she has no idea.
No.
So he's a man. He's just man. He's
I guess
man.
So. But he's made of fucking metal. So he's weighs 400 pounds.
And he also like, I mean, probably still smells a little bit like metal. Like, I don't think he smells like straight up man.
Yeah, you would think that you would have to replenish grease or oil or something, right?
Yeah, he's gonna smell machine like.
Well, it's living tissue on the outside,
but
so.
On the inside, though, you know,
and that's gonna permeate through skin because skin is porous.
I mean, they bleed,
they do bleed, so you'd smell that blood, but what about the gas?
I thought you were going to say, what about the gash?
We're talking about Arnold. He has a thick dick. Calm down. When are we going to get into the real episode? Are we going to do it now?
Real quick, hottest Disney princess, Matt.
God damn it.
I don't want to go first.
Ian.
We've done this bit before. Belle. Belle's really hot.
Belle's super hot. Mine is Aurora, Sleeping Beauty. Matt?
Ugh, that's disgusting.
She's the best. I don't want to fuck her while she's asleep. I want to fuck her while we're
you
dancing in the
forest. Absolutely do.
I don't. I mean, like, if that's how she wanted it, if that's how she liked it, like, maybe we could explore that.
She's like, night, night.
But
what's,
ultimately...
What's more interesting? Hottest villain. Who's the hottest villain? Let's do that.
Oh, wait, I got one. Princess Leia. That's the one I'm going to do.
She's not dissing Christmas.
Well, she is now.
I fucking hate all this fake-ass rolling other characters into being a Disney princess. Get the fuck out of here. Princess Leia doesn't count.
Right. So who's the hottest Disney villain?
Oh. Fuck. I don't want to say Maleficent, but I think that's where I have to go. Because
yeah.
I don't like the queen. The queen from Snow White is not pretty.
Yeah, I don't like
Ursula.
That.
Ursula is a just fat piece of shit.
Oh, how dare you! Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who would who is the
Scar
hottest.
Is a lion
and a guy
and a boy.
Doesn't mean he's not sexy. Jafar's pretty fucking sexy.
Yeah, Jafar's got that heat on.
Yeah, he might. He might. Charm the pants off me. I'll go with Jafar. Matt?
Now you have to answer two questions.
I can't think of any hot villains. Probably Maleficent. It's got to be that one. The Angelina Jolie version, specifically.
I like the green one. If I'm going to have sex with a version, it's going to be the green cartoon one.
Yeah, I'm going to go the cartoon one because I think the cartoon one... is prettier. Like, I don't like the way they handle the the sharp cheekbones and prosthetics. And also, maybe a controversial opinion, I don't think Angelina Jolie's pretty.
I've never been attracted to her. She had a day, but that day is gone. Yeah, and it's not because that she got older. It's just that she had a particular time frame that she was, that aesthetic worked in. Hackers, I think, is probably.
Yeah.
I mean, she's certainly older. I still think she's a pretty woman.
There's tons of women that are her age that I think are super fucking hot and older. But
oh, Carla Gugino.
Gugino?
Sure. Sure. Soft G's, hard G's.
Can we get into the episode?
Welcome to episode 303 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Good evening.
It is Monday night, November 18th, and tonight, right after Matt tells us his hottest Disney princess and hottest villain, we are going to get into the Mandalorian talk. We've watched two episodes, probably going to talk a little Disney Plus, and it's going to be a Disney Star Wars milieu tonight.
Ooh, so sexy.
But before we get into the old meat and potatoes, Matt, if you don't fucking tell us who your hottest Disney princess is, I will come over there and beat the shit out of you.
That would be good radio, but better on YouTube, I feel.
Oh, probably. It's a
visual. Hey, anybody, if
ass
you would like
is
to
a visual
watch
medium.
It, weigh in. McSauce Podcast is always available to hear your cries for a visual medium. I'm sure that you are on the edge of your seat and want to see exactly how the sausage is made. So if that's something that's important to you and you'd want to see it, hit us up on all of the normal social media feeds. You can hit us up on Twitter. We do have a YouTube channel, so go there and check us out. We have a Facebook page. If you want us to do Facebook Live, hit us up there. We have multiple Instagram pages. Would you like to see Instagram shows broadcast live? Let us know. Hit us up there. Any of those feeds, please give us your feedback. It's important to the brand, and we want to give our audience exactly what they want.
That's true. That's not lip service. We want to be able to just reach all the markets that want us in the market. So let us know. Give us your opinions. No opinion is wrong.
Hit it, McSauce.com, the Facebook, any of those places. Let us know on any of the feeds that you interact with us what you would like to see in video form, if you would like to see just the show, if you would like to see different kinds of things. Let us know, and we will try to provide for you.
Matt, were you just Googling hot Disney princesses?
Yes.
Were you really? And? Use your fucking
and?
Memory.
Okay, I'm only using, this is just from memory, I'm only using that portion. I think it's the Evil Queen in Snow White.
We just said she sucked. She had that weird cap.
Well,
she did have that cap.
But maybe that's why Matt likes it, because we don't know what's under there. Like, she may pull that thing off and shake her hair down, and then we're all just like, coming in our pants.
I would imagine that it, well, that's you. I would imagine it's more like Darth Vader's head, where it's scarred horribly from the volcano accident.
That gash. I wish that in Star Wars, in episode 3, if they would have explained where that big crater in Darth Vader's head came from. It just kind of was there.
It would have been cool if anybody would have referenced the earlier source material.
It would have been cool if at any point the prequels would have tied remotely into the original trilogy. So hottest Disney princess. You gave us a villain.
I like Ariel, the merwoman.
Good stuff. Beautiful, beautiful red locks. Giant bush once she has a real pussy.
That
great stuff.
Is a lot of slash pick.
But
you're adding a lot to that.
But we are not here to dip into my personal Reddit account. We are here to talk about Disney Plus and The Mandalorian, the first Star Wars television show, live action television show. And there's
we've had specials before. We've had the Ewoks and a few different
versions.
We had
two Ewok movies. We had a Droids cartoon, holiday special, of course. But
we had an Ewoks cartoon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But I think the big question leading into this podcast tonight is, have all of us bought Disney Plus?
It wasn't until Matt made it a big deal by throwing by throwing intrigue into our random ass conversation about what we understood to be true. So Matt, let it rip.
Yeah, we all signed up for Disney Plus.
Why did you feel the need to put it into question?
I wanted to keep you guys on your toes, make things interesting for the podcast.
But it was a personal conversation between the three of us.
Hey, man.
But it was also a personal conversation that is normally saved for the podcast.
Right. I wasn't ready to divulge. I didn't definitively say one way or the other. I just
my eyeballs rolled through my head and then down into the ground.
I've noticed over 300 episodes that Ian has morphed into the least tolerant of the McSauce hosts.
I would say that that's false. Why am I the least tolerant?
Because I'm not tolerant
of your shenanigans?
Because
you've become a total prick? Is that it?
I feel I started that way. I didn't morph into that.
Matt is the most consistent member
of the podcast. And your eye roll that literally knocked you off the couch. You became so unbalanced.
It's a good thing I was wearing a helmet.
It's a good thing it wasn't caught on YouTube. I could tell you that right now.
That's the thing. That's like, I could see all the commenters like hashtag that eye roll on YouTube.
So we all got Disney Plus. May I ask something?
Yeah.
Did you guys sign up for the big package where you could get Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, which is still a mystery to me what it is?
I already own the big package.
Yuck.
I'm just kidding. It's all right.
It's the medium size. I can work with that package.
You better bring enthusiasm package.
Well, I already own Hulu, so.
Do you own straight up Hulu or through Verizon or something?
No. I have the Hulu version that has no commercials. So I already have
big
that.
Big spender.
It's a couple
another
of
eye roll there, folks.
Well,
see what you're missing?
Everybody keeping track at home. It's two.
But, I mean, four total.
It's a million total. So I have Hulu. I've had Hulu for a while. I think that I spend too much money on something that I don't really engage with and watch all that much. But the fact that I already have Hulu limits me from adding it to other things like Spotify. I can't add it to my Spotify account. Because I already subscribe to it. So whenever me and my wife decided to have a joint family plan of Spotify where her poor and fucking awful musical taste invade my highly curated musical selections, I couldn't also add on Hulu to that because I already had those two things. So I already have it, so the intrigue of the bonus package or whatever it is that they're offering was not something that I even considered.
There's a way to get commercial-free Hulu with the Disney Plus package, apparently. You already have to have the Hulu without commercials. I've seen a couple methods to kind of work around the Hulu with commercials option, but there is a way, which has me slightly intrigued. I don't know what Hulu really offers outside of shows, like older shows.
Well, it has new shows, too.
New shows,
that's the total that like that is the pool of Hulu, is that one day after those shows air that you can get network television, you can get shows. And also, I think that they're going to try to roll in more stuff from FX now into mm-hmm. the Hulu app. So that's what people buy Hulu for, is they're cord cutters who want to watch ABC, NBC, Fox.
Okay.
But they don't want to, they don't want to have a cable bill.
I see. Okay. Right. They watch TV on their own. They were DVRing everything anyway. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And so the mystery ESPN Plus, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it could be ESPN moving more games to exclusively be streamable.
I don't know what the video component of that would be. Like, for me, having ESPN Plus would be able to read like a couple extra articles a week.
Would you be somebody that would pay for articles?
Lord, no. Right. No. I've been struggling with signing up for The Athletic.
I caught it at a time where I paid, like, I got 5 months for free or something like that, and then I got sucked into the middle of the football season. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I like this. It gives me podcasts. So there are a few add-ons to The Athletic being a paid service.
Yeah,
I'll probably cancel when fucking, as soon as the Steelers are out, which will be
all of, well, yeah, I think I'm more interested in more of the NHL as a whole than you are the NFL as a whole. So I think, like, all of the national NHL writers that I really loved reading when they were on Grantland or ESPN, mm-hmm. Now they're all on The Athletic, and that's the only place I can read these guys.
Because that's the only way that those dudes can get paid.
Right, and I love those writers. I love those articles. So all the time, like, they'll tweet something. They're like, hey, here's this really great article about some hockey shit. And I'm like, ah, fuck.
I love really hockey shit, but I hate paying.
Exactly. So, like, I think it, and, like, they're always running deals and shipping it. Like, at some point, I think I'm going to have to cave. But I think The Athletic would be worth it because I really like a lot of those writers.
There's tons of stuff on there. But
with ESPN Plus, you know, between the Puck Soup podcast and ESPN on Ice, like, I feel like I'm getting the ESPN hockey content that I need. I don't think mm-hmm. I need ESPN Plus.
It would be helpful if we knew what it was, which we don't know. Right. 'Cause maybe you do need it, but we don't know what it is.
And like Hulu does nothing for me either.
Are some good Hulu originals?
They have
Handmaid's Tale. That's the big one.
And Castle Rock are the those are the two standouts.
Castle, I thought that was Amazon.
No, that's Hulu. There's Future Man. That's also Hulu. That's a pretty entertaining. If you guys know whoever the actor is that played PETA in the Hunger Games,
yeah.
It's a time traveling kind of shenanigans thing. It's
produced
Matt,
by
you won't like it.
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
It's really funny. Two seasons.
Yeah, I'd like to check out Future Man. But like I bought Hulu a couple years ago to watch Castle Rock season one. And it was really good, but I hated the Hulu interface. Like, it wasn't as smooth as Netflix. And like
hate Netflix's interface.
You hate it?
It's fucking horrible.
Do you guys know that Netflix and Hulu all have different interfaces depending upon the provider that you have? Like, if you look at Netflix on Apple TV,
right,
it looks very different than on your PS4, or if you get it from your cable provider.
Right.
Those things all change your experience. Where I'm a snob. I will not watch Netflix on Apple TV. I only like it through my Dish Network provider just because of the way that it looks.
I didn't know that. I have Netflix through Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it shows up the same on the TV or iPad or laptop It doesn't look all that different.
Yeah, I've watched Netflix on a lot of different devices, and I think it does the same thing, though, where it automatically plays trailers if you hover on anything for more than, like, 5 seconds.
Sometimes it'll take you right into episode one of a show. It's just a terrible interface.
Terrible interface.
Netflix is so pushy. They're like, hey, I don't want that.
You ever like go on vacation on the boardwalk and you have people like running out of the store after you? If they even see you slow down in front of their store, they're like getting you to come in.
Don't even consider looking at that T-shirt.
Right.
Because they're going to track
you. They're putting it on your body. It's like Artist Alley at a comic book convention. That's what Netflix is. They are pushy. But
we aren't.
I want to segue into Disney Plus, Paul, because Disney Plus had a pleasant interface. Whenever I hovered on something, it wasn't like Artist Alley. Hey, you want to watch this High School Musical? Or God, I don't even know what else is on there.
They're really pushing that High School Musical, The Next Class. I feel like every time I see something Disney Plus, it's either The Mandalorian or High School Musical.
So, right, because High School Musical is their other new content, right? So it's Mandalorian and High School Musical. Those are the two brand new pieces of content. Everything else is shit that's been out.
And one of those high school girls is really pretty, and it's been a real struggle to not watch High School Musical because I love teenage drama.
Right. Well, who doesn't really?
It's a real challenge. They're really covering the markets.
I'm surprised you're not a regular reader of Archie. Some high school drama in there.
Yeah, I don't I don't know.
Do you watch Riverdale?
I watched the first 5 episodes of Riverdale, and then I fell out of it because there's too much shit to watch.
Too much drama.
But I think I would love Riverdale. Maybe not now. I feel like Riverdale's, I think, like, from what I can tell from the outside, they had, like, a really good shtick and gimmick for the first couple seasons, but now, like, they're beyond that. Like, they can't, what really made it work for 2 seasons isn't really carrying them anymore. But, again, I haven't seen it, so any Riverdale heads out there that want to send me hate mail, that's at Lil Depressed Matt on Twitter.
I don't think Riverdale is going to appear on Disney Plus, and I don't think that you're going to watch. Well, okay, Ian, you're not going to watch High School Musical on Disney Plus.
Well,
but
it's definitely.
Can we rewind
not
for a hot second? Why would Riverdale appear on Disney Plus?
It won't because Riverdale is a Warner Brothers product, and that's going to be on HBO Max.
Uh huh.
Eventually.
Yeah.
High School Musical, we were talking about high school dramas and how much I love a good high school drama, but I'm not going to watch High School Musical. How many episodes?
Why not?
Because I don't give a shit.
You do. Care. It has your fucking favorite actor
of all time on there, Zac Efron. Is like the new class.
Oh.
This is not Zac Efron High School Musical. No. This is some new
shit. I thought you were talking about the classics.
No. How many episodes is The Mandalorian?
I think it's going to be 8.
8. We're already 2 down. Tight. So in 6 weeks, I will cancel Disney Plus.
Okay.
Is there nothing on there that you want to watch?
There are things on there that I want to watch, but it's nothing that's going to keep me subscribed because there are a billion other things on regular cable and Netflix that I want to watch first.
That's great. We beat this to death last week about how we stubbornly don't want to watch Disney Plus. But why don't tonight we talk about the fact that we actually did watch something on Disney Plus? Not just one thing, but a couple of things. Let's talk about that instead of, oh boy, let's not watch Disney Plus.
Well, we can save Mandalorian. We'll get into that. But what are the other things that you watched on Disney Plus, Ian?
I like throwing it back, man. I loved the fucking Disney Afternoon stuff, and that's immediately the stuff that I gravitated to. Like, fucking cranked on some Tailspin. Immediately, me and my wife watched Gummy Bears. Like, there's DuckTales. There are cartoons that I would like to revisit that I haven't watched in a long time. It's not new stuff or anything like that. It's just stuff from my childhood, me and my wife, that we're interested in watching again because we haven't seen it in a long time. So we watched that. That was the first thing that we watched. Later on, as I was sitting at home, I was drawing, I put on Star Wars Rebels because I fell off because I just didn't happen to watch all of it in succession whenever it came out. So I went back, I caught myself up to the point in Star Wars Rebels, which was like somewhere in season two, and I know there are four seasons. I caught up with that. Maybe I'll go back and watch Clone Wars. Maybe I'll watch some other things. Like, there's stuff on there. There's tons of stuff on there. It's weird to me that you guys are like, I'm not going to watch. There's tons of stuff on there that you can check out. There are some, the Avengers had a cool cartoon on there. The X-Men cartoon that people love. The Spider-Man cartoon. It's all old stuff, but it's still things of value that we all kind of liked. At least I thought we liked at some point.
No, we did. Is it just because it's like there and it's at your fingertips that you're checking this stuff out? Or is this stuff that you actually want to watch?
Well, it's never been available to me before. Like,
I think all this stuff has been available.
I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe not on a streaming service, but
yeah,
for purchase.
Yeah, not on a streaming service. And isn't some of the appeal to streaming services the ease at which you can pull up anything that you want to watch and just watch it right like that? Isn't that part of it? Like, I have an extensive DVD and Blu-ray library right in the next room, but it's easier to watch some of the stuff on streaming services.
No, I agree, but I think that's just the nature of digital. So, like, let's say you purchased the first season of the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be just as easily accessible as it being on the Disney Plus app. So I don't think it's any different that it's easier. Like, it's just as easy if it was
it's way
a purchase.
Like, it is way easier if you have something buried away in a closet or compiled.
No,
I
mean
a
digital purchase.
Yeah, I guess a digital purchase. But yeah, it is all accessible right there in one neat bundle or package. I did a free month subscription to DC Universe just to watch some of the Batman stuff. And I own every fucking season of Batman. But
the animated series, you mean?
Batman the animated series. But I wanted to just go through and watch select episodes.
Yep.
And not have to change out discs. I wanted to compare the first season to whenever they changed the style over, whenever they get into the, I believe it was the third or fourth season. Like, mm-hmm. I just wanted to do that. And
yeah.
I wanted to do that at ease with the click of a button. And
it's really easy to have everything at your fingertips.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like you just happen to watch more things. I do own a lot of the Star Wars Rebel stuff, either on DVD. I think I purchased a couple episodes on Apple through the Apple TV, and I have some of those things scattered around. But on Disney Plus, I can watch them all in a row, all at my fingertips, and that's how I'm trying to get myself caught up on Rebels. So, I don't know.
How far are you through Rebels now?
I found out that I think I'm on season two still, actually.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought I was, yeah. So, like, and I really like that show, so I wanted to catch myself up on it. So, for me, it's worth it to have a subscription to catch myself up.
It's pretty good. You can watch everything except the final season, because that's the one that's junk.
Oh, but it's still available, so I can watch it if I want.
If you want. Be warned.
You know what I'm kind of interested in? I don't know this. I know that the Muppets are on Disney Plus. Are all the shows on there as well? The old Muppet shows? And
I believe I know that the new one is on there, and I think that there are different Muppet movies available.
Uh-huh. I think it would be really cool to go back and look at those old variety shows from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like specifically like there are the live action Muppet Babies, there's Muppet Moments, there's all the movies, it looks like.
The Muppet Babies are on there?
Muppet Babies, like a new version of the Muppet Babies, not the cartoon that we know.
Oh.
But a like live action version of the Muppet Babies.
Mm-hmm. That's so there's recent. lots of Muppet material.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
Matt, did we cover what you watched?
No, we didn't.
First?
I haven't watched anything other than The Mandalorian.
That's it? Just two eps of The Mandalorian, and that's it?
You didn't yep. have any, no curiosity? You guys...
I browsed it a little bit. I saw the five seasons of X-Men are on there, which I didn't expect, and or should I say expect?
but Zing, motherfuckers!
But that was a pleasant surprise. I probably will get into that if I still have it.
There's a Silver Surfer cartoon on there. I've always wanted to watch X-Men Evolution because yeah. I hear great praise for that show. That and Wolverine and the X-Men.
Is the Spectacular Spider-Man on there?
It is not, which is strange.
How is that not on there?
I don't know. The Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes is really fucking good. If you've never watched that, it was from 2010, and that show was awesome. There's a lot of really cool stuff. Ultimate Spider-Man, I don't think that's any good.
So, Ian, you really, you dipped more than a toe in. Well, you are just waiting.
Well, here's the thing.
Just
I'm surprised
in the Disney Plus pool.
I'm surprised that you guys didn't, like, I didn't watch all these things that I'm talking. I did watch Runaways as well, which I've been wanting to watch. And it was
any
on good?
Hulu. An episode or
I watched
season?
Four episodes of Runaways.
I've wanted to see Runaways, but it's not rating high enough on my priority list.
So, Ian, you are getting your money's worth, no doubt.
So here's the thing. Like, me and my wife both have been watching it and going through it. And the first night that we had it, we both sat there and we're like, oh, this is a new thing. And we scrolled through and we looked at shows that we would want to watch or things that we were surprised about and talked about them together. And we watched the second thing that we watched after we watched Mandalorian, Gummy Bears, and then we watched a documentary on the building of Disneyland and Disney World. Like, there's interesting fucking stuff in there. Maybe I'm a Disney mark. Maybe that is it.
I think it's pretty obvious.
But like, it was really enjoyable to sit there, and maybe it was just the fact that I had somebody else there that was equally as excited in the product.
You
as
guys
I was.
were feeding off each other.
Maybe
I
would
one
say
up
that...
each other's excitement for Disney Plus.
We were just take my dollars, and we were lighting our our paychecks on fire as we were doing this.
They were in Mickey Mouse ears
while
they were watching
it. We had Mickey Mouse ears, and we were just looking at each other like crazy people. But no, what I would tell you is that I would say that the experience of Disney Plus was more like what I had than maybe what you guys were experiencing.
You mean the general, like more people were like you than were like Matt and I.
Absolutely. I think I had fun just sitting there with my wife, scrolling through the stuff and talking about the things that we had forgotten.
In fairness, Ian, your wife was not available to us to watch Disney Plus with, so maybe we weren't able to have that level of enjoyment.
Let's be fair, she wasn't available for Disney Plus.
She, if you want to watch Disney Plus with Tracy, I mean, you know, call her up. Maybe she'll make herself available. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I would say that more people had my experience than had your...
Oh, for
I
sure.
I can't wait to fucking cancel this thing experience.
My, like, don't take my attitude for canceling this once The Mandalorian is over as an admission of, Disney Plus has nothing to offer for me. Disney Plus has a shit ton of stuff on it. Like, I went through the list of everything being released, and, like, I wrote down a ton of, like, movies and shows that I like to watch, but ultimately I know that I don't have time for it. I'm not going to go back and watch... I'm never, ever going to watch that old X-Men series. I'm never going to watch DuckTales again.
You don't like X-Men.
No, I'm not even going to go watch a couple episodes just for the old nostalgia of it. I'm just not going to do it. I have other shit to watch. I have new shit to watch. Like, I feel like I should probably watch the original trilogy every year, but I don't because I'm like, yeah, I've seen those a billion times. There's new stuff out every fucking day that I need to watch. So yeah, going through Disney Plus, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of cool shit in here. I would love to watch Sword in the Stone again. I'd love to watch The Black Cauldron. Like, there's a bunch of things at my fingertips now that weren't previously available that I would love to dig into. But it's only so many hours in the day. I need to prioritize. And, like, none of that stuff is that important to me to watch. I've watched both Mandalorian episodes, and I watched the cell barge scene from Return of the Jedi. Because it is
that's
the,
all you need. You should have canceled it right there and been like, I'm done.
I watched Luke enter Jabba's palace, and then I watched them fly away after the sail barge blows up, because that is, it is
Star Wars in a nutshell.
It is my absolute favorite scene in a movie, any movie, any TV show, any media. Like, that is it. If I only get one thing, that's it. It's Luke on the skiff, like, all of it. It's the hint, like, all, entering, you know, the rancor pit, all of it.
Intrigue, sex,
love it.
Everything, incest, I love it.
Love it. So yeah, I watched that, and that's
yeah, bestiality, robot torture. I love it all.
Robot torture is before Luke shows up, and there's what bestiality?
It's in there.
It's in there. I mean, like, what do you think, Leia? Salacious,
yeah.
Salacious Crumb?
Yeah, I guess. Well,
right? I mean,
Jabba and Leia
definitely put the finger
that's,
in there.
That's kind of bestiality, because Leia is a beast to him, to Jabba.
Well, wait, yeah, Jabba licked the side of her face.
Yeah, that's 100% bestiality, alienality.
I don't think he licked her face. He just stuck his tongue out, right?
So, and like,
I feel like that's licking. You come here. I'll stick my tongue out, and we'll figure it out.
But going back to. Like, to what Ian was saying about, like, the ease of it and having everything readily available, just to be able to log in and go to Return of the Jedi and queue up that scene, like, it's so convenient, and it's really nice having that there, but it's not something that that's going to keep me around for the long haul. Like, I think after The Mandalorian, I'll probably cancel, and then I'll probably sign up again once the Obi-Wan show is released. Unless all this Marvel stuff is getting really good hype, and then I'll be like, oh, man, maybe I do want to check this out.
Yeah, I mean, to each one.
But we
you'll never know.
But we all watched two episodes of The Mandalorian. I'm kind of bummed that they're only half-hour episodes.
I think that was very unexpected.
Yeah,
I think everybody went in thinking these were going to be an hour
episode of this. I like a nice tight fucking episode.
Well, this is this leads into the thought I had after I watched both of the episodes that generally the format for prestige television, which I think The Mandalorian should fall in, it's an hour episodes, 8 to 10 episodes a season, but
they can do whatever they want, though.
Right? They absolutely can. And after watching both episodes, I was thinking, oh man, like, I wanted more of it, but this is all we needed. Like, I think I don't know what's going to happen throughout the rest of the season, but so far, this is what we needed for these two episodes. Had to watch another 30 minutes of him fighting Jawas and some random beast, I'd be like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I felt satisfied each time, and one episode was almost 40 minutes, one was 32 minutes, and they both were the satisfying length. They're the length that they needed to be. I think more television should be the length that it needs to be, and not some standardized, like, oh, we have to pump out an hour worth of content.
Yeah, I think this really fit. I didn't do any research about runtimes. Maybe some episodes are going to be 45 minutes. Some are going to be 30.
I think we
maybe
won't
it's
know
maybe
until
it's going to vary.
Them. Yeah.
Just based on what they want to do with these episodes, like how they feel, the best quality episode is going to break down. But after two episodes, I think the runtime really worked, and I think it probably it really worked because I want more of it.
I love the formula of releasing it on a weekly basis as well. I think we've talked about this before.
You are a water cooler guy.
Yeah, I think that it gives you time to really digest the material, to think about it, to have your own opinions and thoughts about it, and really branch out and expand on the thing that you were given.
So Disney Plus was released last Tuesday at 6 a.m., right?
Oh, Matt. When did you watch The Mandalorian?
Well, hold on. Matt, hold that thought. Disney Plus was released 6 a.m. Tuesday, but then the second episode of The Mandalorian was going to premiere like 4 days later on Friday.
Right.
So, like, I had the option because I didn't watch it the first day. Like, I didn't watch it until, I didn't watch episode one until Thursday. So I was like, I can probably just wait and watch these things back to back. But I wanted to be able to go through the process with everyone else that watched episode one, processed it for a few days, and then, like, let episode one be a complete episode rather than watch them back to back and sort of have them blend together and not have the clear delineation between one and two. So, like, I jumped on Disney Plus earlier than maybe I normally would have to make sure that I was watching two separate episodes, and I watched the second episode today. So I had like a good, you know, 3 days between the eps. So Matt, when did you watch The Mandalorian?
Do you want to guess, take bets or anything like that?
I kind of do, Paul.
Oh, man, I feel like this is a hard bet to nail down. Like, this could be anywhere. Like, this, it could be 6:02 a.m., but it also could have been, like, Thursday night. I'm going to say Matt's fervor got the best of him, and he watched it at, like, 6:30 in the morning. Tuesday. 6:30 Tuesday morning.
Yeah. I'll push it back a little bit. No, you know what? Fuck it. I'll push it all the way back. He's a maniac, but he let it lapse, and he came home, and he watched it at 6 o'clock p.m.
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. After he got home from work.
I was still working at 6 p.m. on Tuesday.
Because he's a dedicated employee, unlike us fucks.
Well, then that gives it a... it doesn't necessarily give it away, because he could have watched it on his phone.
But is Matt going to...
No, he stripped...
To dumb down the experience and watch it on a tiny screen. He wants to get naked and take it all in. His cat needs to roll its eyes like, motherfucker, this guy.
You beat me to it. He put on his Mandalorian helmet and nothing else.
Matt beat us to it.
Matt, let us know. When did you watch The Mandalorian? And what level of undress were you in?
I feel I was totally clothed. I was in my comfy PJs.
Socks?
No socks.
Slippers?
No, I
barefoot.
I watched it on my iPad in bed.
It's a big iPad.
I mean, I was sitting close to it, so like, I don't think I was missing anything. I got home from recording the podcast last Monday, and as I always,
it was a late one.
It was a late one. Got home late and maybe felt a little wired. I think I had to do a little bit of work before I got into bed anyway. And by the time I got into bed, it was maybe after 1 o'clock or something. And I was...
That Coke just knocked you right out.
I was on Reddit. And I was on some kind of Star Wars sub. And
shocking.
And somebody was like, Disney Plus is live at about 2 a.m.
You're such a psycho.
And I
such a fucking psychopath.
And I thought,
I can't stand that you're this crazy.
And I thought, should
this
I just...
This is what makes me think that I don't like Star Wars.
Well, like, as I've been realizing over the last, like, week or so, if you listen to that fucking Binge Mode podcast, you don't like Star Wars.
Canton.
Matt's I be on that show? Size of that. I would like you better on that show.
Thanks, I guess. I was debating. Should I just, like, I'm pretty tired, but I'm also kind of excited. And, oh, look at that. It's only 40 minutes.
I'm a little bit hard.
And so I decided to watch it then and there at 2 in the morning. Made sure I set 3 alarms.
So Disney,
for the next morning.
So Disney was like, hey, we're doing 6 a.m., but then they did 2 a.m.
They did.
Yes,
they said they were... There was still an
I
active...
I thought you had to do, like, an illegal stream.
No. It was... On the website, the Disney Plus website, there was still an active countdown to 6 a.m. However, you could download the iPad app early for whatever reason, and it was there, and I was like, fuck it. I downloaded it, signed up, and streamed that first episode.
You are... a maniac.
I don't think it's that crazy.
It's the craziest thing that I've ever fucking heard of.
Listen, man, this is significant. That was the first episode of the first ever live action Star Wars TV show.
I don't like how you're shaking your head too. This is crazy. What he did was fucking nuts.
I didn't do that for episode 2. Admittedly, I did check for it at midnight. It wasn't available yet. But you know what? It was a much better experience watching it on Friday evening on my couch, watching the big screen TV. Who says a big screen TV anymore? They're all pretty big screens.
Big screen compared to your iPad.
Compared to the iPad. And it was way more enjoyable watching it that way.
Ian, for the record, I am not condoning 2 a.m. early viewings of The Mandalorian. Like, that is not my speed at all. Like, I think Matt is a fucking psychopath. But
thank you. But
he is also in Star Wars majority. Like, I think you and I, who are like, meh.
I'll get to it. I must not even like it.
We are in a small percentage
of casual
Star Wars.
Do you remember
fans? What's the term that's like less than fan? There's like fans, and then there's like
I think it's Mandalorian,
and then there's a Star Wars Mandalorian.
Do you remember how I was refreshing the website every 30 seconds on Thanksgiving in 2014, mm-hmm. waiting for them to drop the trailer for The Force Awakens.
I cannot believe that.
Yeah, it was.
And they released it the next day.
It was psychopathic.
I spend the entire Thanksgiving. I'm with my family, and I'm just like, refresh. Talking to people, but not really.
I cannot believe that you're... Props to you, man, that you have such fandom.
I'm into it. What can I say? I love me some Star Wars.
So
always have.
You had the juice. You had the heat. You had a rock hard cock at 2 in the morning. Did that translate through the first episode? Did you finish
my dick
the
being
first
hard?
Episode with just a giant cum shot? What did you think about the first episode?
I thought the first episode was pretty good. I wasn't blown away, but.
Just hand jobbed away.
but I thought it was pretty good. I watched it twice, and I enjoyed it a little more the second time. I think partially because I was really tired when I was watching it that first time. I shouldn't have done that, Ian.
It's dangerous.
You were right. Tell your sister you were right about me. I should not have watched
that.
You
can tell her. She's listening.
I shouldn't have done it. It was better the second time when I was more with it, awake, and I could pay better attention. And I liked it better the second time. It definitely, like, your state of mind and tiredness does have an effect on what you're consuming.
Shocking news.
Right? And
from the McSauce Scientific Journal.
Right. But, you know, with that said, I believe we're going to see episode 9 at, like, 10:30, so.
Yeah, but, like, it's not 2 in the fucking morning. Like we're gonna be ready for it, and we're not watching something at 10:30 at night is not out of the regular realm of things we do. 2 in the morning, though, like, even when I'm up drinking, I'm usually in bed by 2 in the morning. Usually.
Yeah, I thought the first episode was pretty good. What did you think of the first episode?
I thought it was cool. I really wanted to try to disassociate everything I had heard about it from my own viewing experience, because it released, a lot of people watched it anywhere between 2 and 6 a.m. Tuesday morning. So there was a lot of heat from, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon when I finally watched it. There was a lot of stuff online. No spoilers. I got to watch the episode and get all the twist-ish ending. Like, I got to be surprised and everything, which was great. But there was just so much heat on this episode. Like, Twitter, like, I just kept having to, like, wipe the cum out of my eyes because people were just jizzing all over me via Twitter about how good this fucking show was.
Why would you do that to yourself on a day that you know that you...
That's a good question.
I take social media sabbaticals whenever I know that there's going to be something that is going to influence my opinion positively or negatively.
Ian, like, we are...
Because you're a social media fucking guy. And you love it. And you can't get enough of it. And that Twitter cum... You devoured it.
Because we are only a month into the NHL season, and I desperately needed to know the Hurricanes-Panthers final score for a mid-November game.
You couldn't chill for fucking 6 hours.
I'm just on it. I'm constantly, regularly, and I've really dialed back my Twittering. But yeah, like, I'm just regularly on it. You know, I'm just scrolling through. But
you know,
like,
that you're going to be impacted.
But my Twitter feed is curated. It's like, it's all like comics, Star Wars, hockey. Like, so yeah, I'm going to be impacted by it. But there was just so much heat, so much love for it, and I feel like we're at an age where, like, people just like Star Wars because it has Star Wars in the name. Like, they're not objectively generating an opinion about what they're seeing.
Well, I think that you also don't agree with a lot of people's view of Star Wars. Like, you like Star Wars for a whole litany of other things than what maybe modern people like Star Wars for.
Right. I think everybody kind of has their formed opinions on it, but they're just all over the place. Mm-hmm. They're very different.
Yeah,
I don't think
was not the right.
I just feel like most people aren't indifferent to it. Like, they feel strongly, like, whether they liked, you know, The Last Jedi or not, they have their reasons for liking it or hating it.
Well, early on, there was just so much. I mean, everyone was just bowing down to this. Like, give Jon Favreau all the awards. Like, he created the best Star Wars product anyone's ever seen.
I haven't read of that.
But as
I haven't either.
The week went on, and by the time, like, Thursday morning rolled around, then I was getting other reviews that were like, yeah, it was cool. It was all right. Like, I don't know why people are fucking cum empty over this thing. Like, it's cum suitable. And yeah, it was good.
Is this the new McSauce scale? Is this a new polynomic?
How much cum
empty, cum suitable,
cum full.
That's an easy one. It's a tight 3. Cum empty, cum suitable, cum full. Polynomics, ladies and gentlemen.
Cuminomics.
Cuminomics.
I thought the Mandalorian episode 1 was very good. I would...
I would say
it was cum suitable. I don't think it was crazy good. It wasn't... I don't think it was bad. There were... It gave me exactly what I expected from it.
Uh-huh. So you expected... Spoilers. You expected Baby Yoda.
Oh no, that was a surprise. But the tone of the show, the quality of the show, where the story for the first episode.
Well, let me ask you this: what did you think of the quality? Was it this could have just been a feature film, or did you think that there was a definite downgrade in terms of overall quality?
I think that you could see the seams. I think that there was a lot of CG that was like, maybe you shouldn't have done that. There were some things that looked really good, but I think that they skillfully leaned on a lot of practical effects. There were puppets in this. There were a lot of actual armor and suits and locations.
Really loved that no one threw a blanket over a horse. We had a straight-up ranch rodeo. Whenever they do like the workout in the middle of the movie and
montage.
We had the
that wasn't the biggest problem. I had problems with the first episode. There was whenever the monster comes out of the ice, I thought it was kind of funky looking. And there was just stuff here and there that looked a little bit weird. But most of the show is practical, so it mostly looks really fucking good.
The worst, like my absolute, my least favorite part about that first episode was the blue alien that
talked like a person. Sands.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Absolutely. I will 100% agree with
you. He would have been fine if he would have spoken in an alien language, but just speaking like...
Subtitle that motherfucker.
Right, just... some dude that lives down the street made him feel not very alien
at all.
It didn't
feel like Star Wars.
It reminded me of Star Trek, like Worf.
Yes.
Looks like a crazy alien, but he sounds perfectly human. And I feel like those are the little things that if you're doing that, you're not totally tuned into what makes Star Wars Star Wars.
Well, Dave Filoni gets tons of credit for knowing what makes Star Wars Star Wars.
Here's the thing. It was stunt casting because it was Horatio Sanz and it was a star who was trying to put a little bit of his comedic spin on it. And I was like, maybe you shouldn't do that.
It didn't. I don't think any of that worked. The voice coming out of the alien makeup didn't work. All the fucking shit jokes didn't work.
I thought that the makeup looked fine. I thought the dialogue was fine. I actually appreciated the Life Day reference. I appreciated the fact that there's a toilet in Star Wars. How about that? And they call it a vac tube. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
I was fine with
all of it except for the voice. There was no reason to have him just talk like your uncle.
Yeah, it was really goofy. Like I felt like it could have seamlessly been in an episode of The Orville.
Here's the thing, Paul. I hate it when things in Star Wars deviate from the sort of established rules to the point where it distracts you from the story because it's breaking the rules. It's like, I'm so caught up in the fact that you can't do that because you've never done it before. And I'm so distracted by it. I'm like losing the storyline because I can't keep up with, because the story keeps moving, but I'm still hung up on stupid shit. Like he doesn't sound like an alien or, the Poe Dameron's jokes at the beginning of The Last Jedi were totally distracting. I can't keep up with everything. And that's irritating. And, you know, I really like Dave Filoni. And if he was totally in charge of all things Star Wars, if he was kind of like Kathleen Kennedy, really, like, I would be pretty okay with that. And I like him because he's a Pittsburgh guy and he loves the Penguins. But, like, stuff like that seriously makes me question exactly, like, does he truly understand the DNA of Star Wars?
Well, like, I don't think he's pulling as much rank as we would maybe want him to. It could have been that...
Well, he directed that episode.
still could have been Favreau or Kennedy were like, hey, this is Horatio Sands. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It could have also been something that worked really well in animation with that human voice coming out of an alien in Rebels or the Clone Wars doesn't really translate to live action. That could have been his fault. It could have been someone else just overthrowing him and being like, well, fuck it, we're doing it. But that pulled me out of it. The other thing that pulled me out of it, and it may sound like a really small thing, but I really have a hard time with the bounty pucks, because to me, a puck is such a earth thing. Like, it's an earth word. It's specifically...
It's really not, though.
...one thing. A puck is...
It's a disc. Could be a disc of anything.
So call it a bounty disc. When you call it... I started telling you about this, saying it's a very small thing, but for me, it pulled me out of it every time they use the word puck, because puck is so specific to one fucking thing. Just call it a fucking disc, and then it washes all that away. But a puck is one thing. Like, it's a very... It's a very English word. It's a very earth word that pulls you out of the story. So for me, as much as Horatio Sands pulled me out of the show, the word puck pulled me out of the show, because it's not a general word that should exist in the Star Wars universe.
All right. So why don't we go, let's we've been nitpicking the shit out of
that
the first
episode. That didn't trip any wire.
No, not
for
absolutely
you
not. Nope.
Me
nope.
Either. Didn't. Me either.
That's lunacy. That's crazy talk.
Wow. Wow.
Let's
you guys are
the crazy
insane.
Guys being
you
like,
guys
wow.
are insane.
Let's open it up a little bit further, because I think we're dialed in a little bit too closely to the things that we didn't like. I feel like we all said that we kind of liked it. Did we like the general tone of it? Did we like that it was a fucking Star Wars Western? Matt, I know that you are very keen to the musical cues. I know that they had the composer from Black Panther did the music.
Yeah,
it was drastically different.
It was drastically different.
What did you think?
I thought it was interesting in the beginning when they were playing kind of those otherworldly sounding instruments when the Mandalorian entered the tavern, you know, the doors open up. I mean, what a cool beginning for the series, I think. You know, the kind of the lone kind of gunfighter walks into a bar and the door, you know, what are those called? Double doors or whatever. That's what it was, but it was in space. And the music that played over that was pretty good. But as the show progresses, it kind of irks me that there aren't more traditional Star Wars cues when we're starting to see more traditional Star Wars things. And they're not lining up. I mean, the obvious one to, you know, go into the second episode is when the Force is used for the first time. It's like, I'm sure I'm not the only one. You expect to hear the Force theme when that happens, and we don't hear it. It's like, what, are you afraid that this is, you're going to be too Star Wars or too linked to the movies? But like, it's fucking Baby Yoda. Of course it's going to be linked to the movies. You're starting to pull things that are more familiar to us. So give us the music that goes, again, these are the things that make Star Wars, Star Wars. I think overall the music is okay. I think it would be better with more traditional sounding Star Wars cues.
I don't know if I love the like the ending theme that we get, although I do love
it,
the pacing of like once we get to the end, we kind of see like this illustrative.
Oh, like, it's a cool
idea, but I don't know if I love that music that accompanies it.
Ian, it is very reminiscent of the music in Creed. It sounds like Rocky music, and to me, it feels kind of out of place. Like, I was okay with it at the beginning, but it does have kind of a 70s vibe to it, but in a different way. Like, you know how Star Wars music sounds way more timeless than Rocky music?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Bill Conti's writing the music for this, it feels like. And I...
Is it the same guy that was on Creed, too, then?
Yeah.
Like, okay,
yeah.
All right, yeah.
I don't think that he's capturing the spirit of Star Wars with his musical cues. I would be fine if it was mostly new, unique stuff, but when you start pulling in shit that we know, like very intimately, like, oh, Yoda's going to use the Force. I want to hear the shit that like I'm supposed to hear when Yoda uses the Force.
So, and what do you think about the major twist that is the surprise of the series, is that there's a Yoda baby that is what we're tracking down or is the MacGuffin of the series.
In the first episode, I was a little bit like, well, this really changes things because it's going to be a character that is of Yoda's race. And I'm always nervous that you're going to almost spoil what made Yoda unique. You know, it's like whenever comic books or movies or whatever starts explaining things too much, it makes shit less special. It happens all the time. Star Wars is guilty of it all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I'm still nervous about that with this. Like, it's like it could have been anything else.
But all these characters are so fucking clueless. Like, they don't really know what the hell is going on.
No. I get it.
So there's still some mystery, but that I think that they could leave and like, these characters don't need to know all of the behind-the-scenes stuff and make it still cool and keep with what makes Yoda interesting.
I think that's true, but I don't think that's what will happen. I think though, before the end of the season, you're going to know what the race is called. Before the end of the season,
is that something that you've held like dear and like?
It's not something that I really ever gave much thought to.
Me neither. Until I was like, oh, it's a baby Yoda, and then I was like, well, doesn't Yoda or Yaddle have like a race? And I guess they don't. Which is weird that they never have.
You get the sense that they're very rare, a rare species, and obviously
I think that's cool, though.
They're very strong in the Force. At first, I was a little bit leery, just because of we know what happens when you overexpose something that's already kind of cool. Like The Mandalorian, perhaps. I don't know. But 2 episodes in, and I'm starting to change my mind. Mm-hmm. I really love that it's a Yoda baby and not just a human baby. I love that that's what this show is about, is at least I think it looks like it's going to be him walking away from a life as a mercenary and finding true purpose in protecting this child that is clearly a target for so many evil, you know, pieces of shit out in the galaxy.
It's suddenly, very much like a wolf and cub, kind of lone wolf and cub.
Yes. And I am I liked the second episode so much more than the first episode, because I felt like the first episode really wasn't a story or anything.
You got second pack episode, a lot of right. World building in.
Right. You episode. Do. But the second episode, I think it was more fun. I think the story was starting to take shape. And I am starting to feel for some of these characters already. Like, I really give a shit about Baby Yoda. I'm sorry. I'm totally on board with Baby Yoda.
I am too.
And I'm starting to actually feel for the Mandalorian, who to this point was pretty bland.
Are we ever going to see his face?
I don't. Maybe I the final you, episode?
I think you cast Pedro Pascal to eventually show his face, not just be lines of dialogue. Per episode.
I'm on the fence. Like, part of me likes that they're like, it doesn't matter that it's Pedro Pascal or whatever actor it is. It's about this character, and this character is, he has a mask on the entire time. Like, I kind of like that, but I also want to get into who this fucking guy is. And I think, like, I like Pedro Pascal enough that, like, I want to see the moment where he takes the mask off. And what I really liked about the second episode was he got his fucking ass handed to him.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of like gate. Emotion that can be conveyed by what happens to him, by the fact that he killed that IG.
Yeah, and it's
that
like,
IG unit.
And like, I don't need to see him, you know, just emote with his bare face. Like, he can do that in the costume,
and we're getting that
he's just rolling and just he's just kicking ass the whole time, and he has the answers. But in the second episode, like, those Jawas kick his ass,
and then he goes
and then
in,
that fucking
in
that like
that space rhino.
Yeah.
kicks his ass.
And the
and
fight.
And I love that he's just so beat down. And at the end, like, he gets a little knife out. And he's just like, fuck. Like, he just, like, holds the knife up like, this is it.
It was very much like a we send a knight to do a thing and kill the dragon sort of thing whenever he goes and finds the fucking thing and is trying to get this egg and has to beat this force. Like, that's the thing that I really like about this. It's crossing so many genres, at least for me. It's you know, heavy Western, heavy sci-fi, but also, you know, there's some, like, mythical elements to it.
One of the cool takes that I really liked about it was, especially the second episode, was that he's in rough shape and he does get his ass kicked. And even in, like, I don't understand the bit in the first episode where he gets, like, the Imperial metal thing.
That's the kind of metal that his armor is made out of.
So it's native to Mandalore.
So he's rebuilding his armor with this specific metal that he's getting,
I think he's
right?
building it for the first time. He's like,
yeah, right.
It.
He's got the helmet, and now he's got a shoulder pad, and he's
and the rest
keep,
of his
he's
armor
keep
is
building.
Like, not really Mandalorian armor. That's why it gets fucked up so easily.
Right. So, like, by the time we get to the end of season one or two, he's gonna be all silver. But I like that he's tinkering with it. He's fucking with, like, the arm stuff. He's fucking with the chest plate, and then the chest plate gets destroyed. I like that he's because I thought coming into this, it was, oh, Boba Fett's the coolest. Then I thought it was going to be like a modern Batman situation where Batman has all the answers and Batman can beat any situation. And I thought this dude was just going to be a fucking badass. He's got all the answers. He's going to take care of all of it. But, like, he doesn't. And, you know, he rolls into what's his name's place with the stormtroopers, and, like, he's super cool and he rolls out of there like, yeah,
I think his
I've
name
got
is
this.
Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog.
Is that the actor That's or the actor. Star Wars
That's
character?
The actor
name?
I absolutely will not call him by whatever his fucking name is in Star Wars.
He's Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog.
So, yeah,
can we talk about this scene? That fucking scene where he's talking with the gritty ass, beat up, shitty stormtroopers. That shit had tension. It had weight. Like, that was a great fucking scene.
Those were
episode.
Probably the scariest stormtroopers
with all the, like, caked
I've
on,
ever
like,
seen.
Mud or blood. Like, holy fucking
the
shit.
The white looked just, it looked tainted. Like, it wasn't white anymore. Like, the whatever, like, dirt just bled into the armor. And,
like, coffee teeth.
Yeah, it looked stained. The white looked stained, and
we've
they
never
were those
seen
were the
stormtroopers like that fucked up and like
those were the
gritty looking
scariest
right,
stormtroopers.
It's before,
I've
obviously
ever seen.
Before the First Order stormtroopers.
Do we think that Werner Herzog, his character, is a for real remnant of the Empire, or is it stolen valor? Did he just like steal some dude's medallion and like rock out? Like
I think he's legitimately a remnant.
Grand Moff or like what do
I
think?
I thought that I read somewhere that he was, but I don't know where I got that.
I thought
from.
He was cool as fuck in him putting he was like, oh great, a Mandalorian, like this is exactly what I wanted. Like all that stuff builds such a great story and adds such texture to the Star Wars universe mm-hmm. in a small way. Like that's a shit that I'm here for, like that I really like.
So like the big crux of the storytelling going forward is based on that scene, and the doctor that comes out, he has a Kamino patch on his uniform, and that's cloning business. So like, is this they want this baby for some reason?
Is the baby a clone?
Is this like a last ditch effort with the Yoda species? So they need to clone this to make more because they know they're strong with the Force. Like
they
this is the big crux of what
like,
we're doing.
Like a weapon of some type,
right.
I would imagine, for like the last gasp of the Empire. So yeah, like it's really interesting. I think
do
this
we want
smaller
it?
Version of the Star Wars universe, this little like condensed package of it, is really cool that we can see, like, just how fucking Jawas rock on a different planet and how the different corners
so,
of the universe
So, Yarenay, brown cloaks, yellow eyes, Jawas versus dark cloaks, red eyes, Jawas. What do we like better?
They're fine. Either one. I kind of like the new ones are kind of creepier a little bit with the gray cloaks.
I like classic Jawa because I think red eyes immediately try to present as creepier, but if it's softer and they're still as vicious, that makes them scarier. So like I thought it was an interesting take.
What I will say is that that scene was still really funny, and to me,
the whole Jawa business?
Yes.
It was fucking awesome.
But
I love that they zap him and he gets the R2
yes.
electric effect. And I love that they just fucking beat his ass.
But he still, and this was actually pretty funny. He's like using his gun and he's shooting them and he's disintegrating them.
Yeah, I like
and
disintegration is happening.
Right.
That cool.
And that was like when Vader goes up to Boba Fett and he points at the Mandalorian, he's like, no disintegrations.
And now we got to actually see what that shit looks
right.
like.
Right. That I like.
Which is weird because it's like it's all organic tissue that's getting disintegrated.
Yeah.
Which is not what happened to Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen. So now we can wipe out that fan theory that Boba Fett was responsible for killing
Emperor.
Oh,
that sounds like
Uncle
a dumb ass fan theory. Please talk to
you
that a little
you
bit.
You don't know this theory?
I thank God I don't, but please invade my brain.
It
with
was
this
it
bullshit.
Was that Vader had hired Boba Fett to track down that family and he disintegrated Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen. So by the time we're an Empire and Vader admonishes them with no disintegrations, that means because you fucked it up last time and you killed Luke's aunt and uncle.
That's fucking stupid. If they were disintegrated,
I didn't buy into that.
We wouldn't have seen their skeletons.
Because we knew Boba Fett was on Tatooine because of the special edition.
Oh, that's so fucking stupid.
And he fought Luke.
Who would do that?
In the new canon comic book when Luke was blind and still beat Boba Fett.
I want to take his pen away. Terrible writer.
That's all fucking... He's a good writer, but he does bad Star Wars books. That's fucking terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was real, real bad. I just like that the stormtroopers go in there, and like it's still when the stormtroopers are... They're kind of threatening, because in A New Hope, they're kind of threatening. They can like roll in, and they can take out an entire Jawa sandcrawler. And they can just torch the homestead, and like I like that just threateningness of the stormtroopers. But these dudes at the end of their rope with Werner Herzog, and they're just staying, and who knows what they're fucking fighting for anymore at this point? Like they're just clinging to the last threads of what they've known, what they've been fighting for all these years. Those stormtroopers are scary, and I'm gonna be real sad when they die in the next episode or two.
I think that these episodes are capturing, they're understanding the way humor is supposed to be treated in Star Wars as opposed to the newer sequel movies. I feel like they're not getting it, and it seems like Filoni and Favreau get it much better than J.J. Abrams and Ryan
Johnson.
It's
not very slapsticky.
No, it's exactly what it needs to be. It's just so much better. It's so much better.
I was thinking about that exact point today, especially after watching, you know, the Jabba's skiff scene where, you know, they're riding out on the skiff to be executed. And Luke's like, I used to live here, or I grew up here, you know. And Han's like, you're gonna die here, you know. Convenient. And it's just, it's subtle. It's not slapsticky. It's not over the top. It's just funny dialogue. And if you're not listening, you're gonna miss it. And that's the kind of humor that Star Wars needs to be based on. Like, no one's making your mama jokes.
It's not even that subtle. Like, your mama jokes are beating you over the head.
Right.
Beating you in the face, knocking your teeth out.
As a little kid, I understood that Han Solo was funny by saying that.
Right.
You don't. It's just genuine comedy.
It's not. It's the modern Marvel movie method of including humor, which is the kind of humor that will not hold up over time. It has no legs. Ian, you're gonna be the best at it because you're gonna roll your eyes every time they make a joke in these sequel movies. But the humor in Mandalorian so far is spot on. It outside of Horatio Sands, somebody needs to do the fan cut already and dub him, for the love of God, dub him with alien language.
So, I absolutely, speaking, we're tying into comedy, I loved IG-11. I hope to it's fucking God.
Hilarious they fix... that you love IG-11.
I know.
You know who voiced him, but it didn't sound like.
No, it was a lot of effects on Taika Waititi, but the
it
tone of it
might have just him be like talking and not being over the top.
The tone of it when those comedic beats were happening, when he keeps trying to self-destruct himself and Mandalorian's like,
that absolutely was his influence. 100%.
And
right?
Because he's later on
a director of this.
Right,
show.
Right. And I didn't know that was him, but as soon as I saw his name in the credits, I was like,
who it was.
That whole bit like made sense. And I was like, okay, I get it. But I think it really worked. Like, it worked for the character. It worked for IG-11 and
for
the Mandalorian.
Star Wars in general.
It worked in tone with that whole fight scene. Like, it worked really good. I really like that. I loved IG-11. I want him to be back. Fix his fucking head. Bring him back.
I think he is, because I've seen other previews and stuff, and he's in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a sequence where what's the MMA actress's name? I can't remember. Gina
Carano.
Carano. I think she says, "Who are they? Who are they calling for?" And then you hear IG-11 go, "The Mandalorian." That was the first time we heard him talk. So there's a sequence later on somewhere where he's back.
Where
do you think that the Mandalorian has an actual name, or are they just gonna slur him?
No, they
time?
Said his name.
Don't they call him just Mando all the time?
Yeah, but he says his name to Werner Herzog. I don't know, some weird Star Wars.
I don't remember him saying his name, but yeah. I also know that he, the actor Pedro Pascal, says what the character's name is in an interview that's online.
Okay.
Yeah. So much for that's Boba Fett theory.
Do you care now? Like, I know that last week we were watching it.
His name is Din Djarin.
Din Djarin.
D-Y-N-J-A-R-R-E-N.
Are any of us going to call him that, or are we just going to call him the Mandalorian?
He's the
Mandalorian.
Okay. All the IG-11 business was awesome. I wanted him to come back.
Loved IG-11's like battle style too, like the twerking and
my god, it worked. It worked. Like, so it was good. Really, it's something that you never could have done.
Maybe not.
He really shook his ass to fight those Weequays or
it's
whatever they were.
Something you never could have done with IG-88 in The Empire Strikes Back. Because
IG-88 was
a mannequin.
It was, yes.
It worked. It worked so well. I love the silhouette of those two when they walk in the door, and like if you just squint a little bit, you get the Boba Fett IG-88 series that you always wanted. But instead, we get the Mandalorian and IG-11, and it's close enough.
Did any of us ever in our wildest dreams be like, you know what, one day they might make a Boba Fett IG-88 fucking joint that we will watch and really love?
I think a lot of people
thought about
a Bounty Hunter spinoff. The scene that made me legitimately laugh out loud was in the second episode when little Yoda eats that fucking frog.
It was great.
And he has its legs sticking out, and Mandalorian's like, spit it out. And then he just swallows the whole thing. It was so fucking funny.
The entire time, my wife is like, you know, Mandalorian is a bad dad. He's not feeding this baby Yoda. And then baby Yoda fucking houses a whole frog. And I was like, he's feeding it.
I thought that was so funny. And that's what I was thinking leading up to that. I'm like, well, I don't know what Star Wars pods are like. Maybe there's some kind of nutritional thing in this floating pod
that
feeds this thing. And but
where's it shitting?
Yeah, whenever Mandalorian, he just looks over him. He's like, spit it out. And then he just swallows it.
The real question is, my man Baby Yoda is 50 years old. He's been shitting in that diaper for 50 fucking years. Can you imagine being a 50-year-old baby?
Those weak ways.
I mean, some of you out there, I'm sure you can, you perverts.
Those weak ways have been taking relative care of it. They've at least been cleaning it up. Or else he would have opened that pod and shit would have spilled out.
But I'm saying, like...
green shit.
Functionally as
a... Did they shit green?
Huh?
Did they shit green?
I don't know.
Functionally as a...
We shit brown and two of us aren't brown.
You know? As a being, like being so helpless for 50 years of your life and just pooping and only eating.
But he knows the Force. What do we think of the fact that this Yoda thing knows the Force and could do what he did as an infant?
I think it's the exact reason why he is something that has a bounty on his head, mainly dead, but partially alive. He's maybe the Yoda species, or this Yoda clone is maybe that's why Yoda's so powerful in the Force. It's just innate to his being.
Right? I have a couple different thoughts. One is that he has been alive for 50 years. So even if he has a, you know, slow aging process body, and his brain isn't gonna age as quickly, he's still been around for 50 years, so he has a pretty good sense of what's happening around him.
Maybe that's why they're good with the Force, because they've been around so, like, those beings are around so long that they can harness the Force even whenever they're essentially
in
their
infancy. At the point of the battle with Space Rhino, that, you know, Baby Yoda understands that this guy is protecting him. This guy is looking after him. And it's not so much Baby Yoda specifically saying, I'm going to stop Space Rhino and lift him up in the air, so much as it is just a blanket, don't hurt the Mandalorian. And however that manifests, that's how he stops the Space Rhino.
We need more episodes and halts Space Rhino.
I love space western. I was kind of afraid that it was going to be too gritty, too, like, in the weeds, not enough fantasy force powers, but love this new turn of force powers. I'm like, show me someone with a lightsaber, and I may really
need
be
a lightsaber.
Show.
See, I don't. Like, I really don't.
No, I don't, but I really liked... Because, like, I didn't expect to see any real Force shit in this show, because it is the gritty underbelly of the Star Wars universe. But now
I'm excited
to
get in and out without any lightsabers.
Right,
to
but
be
now
honest.
That, and like, I don't mean I don't mean literally lightsabers, but since the Force has been introduced,
fine.
Like, yeah. I didn't think we were going to see any of that in this show. So this is really exciting for me that we're really kind of blending all of the Star Wars universe into this thing so far, and I kind of dig it.
I like that the Mandalorian is like, I don't know what the fuck this thing is. Like, we are reminded again and again that, like, Jedi,
the long-term memory in the Star Wars universe doesn't exist.
Well, not a ton of people, like, not a lot of people that were alive.
It's a huge galaxy, and there were, like, a total of 2,000 at the most.
And how many Yodas were there? We only know of two.
Do we know the names of any of the planets they were on in the Mandalorian?
No, and that's fine, right? Like, is
okay? Just wondering.
I would like for them to do it sort of how they did it in Rogue One, where they would flash the name.
I hated that.
I might have at the time, but I feel like for the non-episodic stuff, you can do that. I feel like that can have its own unique kind of, like, language.
I hated it at the time because it was all new shit.
Yeah.
And I just had a hard time keeping track of
it. Does it matter what planet they're on here with fucking Nick Nolte and Baby Yoda?
It feels like it could be Tatooine, and if it is, it matters, I think.
but it's likely not.
I don't think it is. I thought it was, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think the whole point is like there are Jawa everywhere.
Right.
There are these kind of creatures everywhere.
Oh, where Jawa, where there's not Jawas?
There's a
the Jawa?
Plural? I think it's Jawas.
Jawas?
I think so. But I think that what's happening in Disney era Star Wars is they're establishing that Tatooine is most certainly not unique. There are tons of just dust ball planets out in the galaxy.
The outer rim is huge.
And it's
huge.
And it's dusty.
It's filthy. It's filthy. It's
filthy. But here's the thing. Like, Tatooine didn't seem like there was a lot of, there was any rain or wetness there. There's mud.
Yeah.
Moisture. Yeah. A lot of moisture.
And I know, like, I feel like Nick Nolte is a, I don't care what his name is. He's Nick Nolte. The Ugnaught. The famous Ugnaught.
Q-il?
Nick Nolte.
Q-il?
Cool. Cool?
Yeah, it's K-U-I-I-L.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
Like radical. Cool. He's
That's
is
his
he
first
a,
name, Rata.
Is Rata? Cool. Is he a vapor farmer or a moisture? He's a vapor farmer, right?
I think he's just cool. Like man of all trades out there.
He's
he had a lot of. He seemed to have a lot of shit going on his ranch.
I don't remember Ugnaughts being able to speak English either. Remember?
Well, they weren't.
Well, if he grew if he grew up in a different part of the galaxy, if he wasn't just with all of his Ugnaught boys, he needs to assimilate. But all those assholes on Cloud City that are just taking apart droids at their whim.
And don't forget, Dave Filoni is also the guy that took the Jabba the Hutt race, which all spoke in Huttese and had this like big booming voice with this weird language, and up and took what was the Hutt in the Clone War?
Zero the Hutt. And he was like Gilbert Gottfried or some shit.
Not Gilbert Gottfried, but like some southern gay plantation owner.
It really was.
You don't remember this?
I'm excited that I have Disney Plus so I can research this mania that you guys are talking about.
The point
Clone
is,
Wars,
the
isn't
point,
the final Euro. Clone Wars season is going to be on Disney Plus at some point, right?
I don't know. I guess, yeah.
I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah.
I think it's because
I'm
an
OCD completionist. No, it's not. It's not up there now.
The new Clone Wars.
The new Clone Wars.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to be on this.
It's going to be, but it's not yet.
Why would they put that on Disney Channel? They're going to fucking nuke Disney Channel.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be on Plus.
Is Disney XD done?
Disney XD has always been garbage, so yeah.
Well, that's what had
Rebels.
Yeah, it's always been bad. The
quality
of Disney XD
is always... There was good stuff on Disney XD.
They made a few good programs, but the quality of the... Like, what it looked like, whatever they, like the resolution was always bad.
Oh, Rebels was on Disney XD. That's what I'm thinking.
It looked kind of shitty on there. Looks good on
resolution snob over here, Matt.
Oh,
I see
wow.
It.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow.
So, okay.
All right.
We should probably wrap this up.
Polynomics, first two episodes of The Mandalorian. Matt, go.
Well, the first time I saw the first episode,
blurry-eyed and fucking drunk,
I was like, that was about a 7. But then the second time I enjoyed it more. And I woke up. I'd just give it an 8. And the second episode, well, I liked it better, so I'm going to have to give it a 9. I'm into this show. I loved the beginning of the second episode when he fought those 3 or 4 Trandoshans, or I think that's what they're called.
That's not your word.
What?
I'm just.
What did you say?
I said that's not your word. I'm just teasing. It's not a slur.
And the way that he was protecting the Yoda baby, and you were starting to get the sense, oh, okay, he's totally protecting this thing. Not that you didn't get that, I guess, after the first episode by killing IG-11, but holy crap. I'm like really into this. I'm excited for the next episode to drop on Friday. Like, I can tell you pretty much definitively from now until December 28th, Friday evenings, I will be watching this show every week.
Matt, I have to agree with you. I was surprised at how much I like this show. I love a Star Wars Western, I guess. I really enjoyed the world building. I know that we're talking about the calamari flan and all that fucking shit, but I think that the fact that we're talking about the fall and crumble of the Empire and what it does to these different sections of, like, the Outer Rim and the bounty hunters and what they will accept and won't accept, mm-hmm. and just seeing a smaller story, to be honest. It's a smaller story. Like, what's going to happen if the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda get fucking killed? The galaxy will continue on.
I thought all of the carbonite blocks in his ship was very cool.
I thought that stuff was cool as well. It was a... It showed that Boba Fett was an innovator and that all... Because...
Darth Vader was the innovator.
But Boba Fett made it pop... He popular...
Because...
Made it popular.
It's in his name. He's Darth Vader, as in innovator.
Vader, right? Because they weren't doing that kind of stuff before Boba Fett made it hot, right? Because they were like, oh, we normally do this for carbon. We don't do this for people, right? That's what they say in Empire Strikes Back. And Darth Vader's like, I don't give a shit.
No, I got that, like, Lando is like, we don't use that for this. But I got a sense that, like, Boba Fett knew they could use it for this.
So
that's
Fett
something he's been doing, and that's something bounty hunters have been doing, and all. But it's new to Lando.
I thought it was new after.
Maybe it was Empire something they Fett always Fett. Did, but because Vader said that facility was crude, but it, you know, it should work. Maybe, like,
you feel
there
like
are
the
better
bounty hunters have high tech shit all
I don't
the time?
Fucking know. Anyway, what do you give this
nine out of 10? Who fucking really
wow.
liked it? I liked it. I'm definitely gonna be there on Friday nights. Like, I fucking like it. It's really entertaining. It hits my Star Wars sweet spot.
I think, Ian, we'll have to see on Paul, but since you're into this and I'm into this, we should, for at least the season finale, should watch it together.
Could
if Tracy's
be.
Okay with that.
We'll see. Maybe we can.
Is
call.
Tracy watching?
Yeah.
The
yeah,
Mando?
That's not your word. she has watched both episodes. The first one, enthusiastically. The second one, she was like, I don't know.
So I was like, I finished the second episode, and like initially, I was kind of disappointed because it just. Yeah, there was big plot point that happened with Baby Yoda. But at the same time, I was like, oh, this just kind of felt like sort of a one-off filler. We're going to have them go do this, but it doesn't really tie in to the greater plot with the Stormtroopers and Werner Herzog and, like, all this other stuff. It just kind of felt like a throwaway. But the more I thought about it today and, you know, the more we talked about it tonight, like, it was... I really liked a lot of the stuff that came out of this episode. Like, all the business with... I fucking love all the business with the rebels. I love that they beat his ass. You know, I love that... Just the jawiness of it. That they just fucking see a ship standing out there. And they're like, we're gonna fucking strip that shit. And then he needs to go barter with him. He needs to find some hairy egg. Like,
hey, that sequence when he goes into the cave... I swear I heard it twice. An R2-D2 unit in the cave. Like, I could hear echoes of it in the distance. Like, twice. Am I the only one that heard this?
Yes.
Okay.
That's weird, man.
Okay. Because I thought that's what the egg was.
Oh.
Was yeah. going to be an R2 unit.
It would have been straight up R2-D2.
Surprise!
They're before, like, oh, we got him back!
Before he gets
You've
back
been missing
to
for 10 years!
So what's,
fucking
what's,
shit planet.
So what's crazier? That it was just like, it would have been R2-D2, or was just a straight up egg?
It was
that
a
they
coconut.
Were like,
it was candy.
Coconut.
It was a Cadbury egg.
They were like, wah, 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 wah. That's what the subtitle said.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Mandalorian an 8. I think it scratched some Star Wars itches that I didn't expect it to. I think the McSauce podcast is in a pretty good place with the Mandalorian. So, you know, cheers to Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, and let's keep it going.
You made something that we only hated on for half this episode. So, cheers to you.
Congratulations.
That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Din.
Jaren.
It's going to be the Mandalorian.
It's going to be Boba Fett. We'll see you next time.